Nashtaprishu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavad Yutama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Toto Jayam Mudirayet Krishne Swadamo Pagate Dharma Ganadi Bisaha Kalo Nashta Drisham Mesha Puranarko Dunodittaha Shrimad Bhagavatam Paranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsyam Ekam Amalam Jnanam Param Giyate Tatra Jnana Viraga Bhakti Sahitam Naishkaramyam Avishkritam Tachchinvan Supatan Vicharana Pro Bhaktya Vimuchyen Naraha Shlokam Ekam Tararam Va Param Pararam Eva Va Shadavan Yo Nushuniyat Punat Yatmanam Eva Saha Saravidanta Saram Hi Shri Bhagavatam Ishyate Tadrasamrita Triptasya Ananyatra Syadrati Kuchit Krishna Tulya Bhagavat Vibhusarvashray Pratishloke Pratyakshare Nana Artakai Adi Madhyante Bhagavate Kai Vishnu Bhakti Nityasira Akshaya Avyay Premamaya Bhagavata Krishner Shriyanga Tahate Kaena Jata Gopya Krishneranga Vandeham Shigaro Sriyuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Scha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvashesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Rara Samukha Samsaktim Saki Sangha Nivasinim Tamaham Satatam Vande Guru Rupam Param Sakim Jankali Rupa Sharira Nadarata Tan Braja Prima Mahanidhi Kuttarika Konkapata Ugharata Shri Rup Shri Sanatana Bhatta Raghunath Shri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasu Raghunath He Chai Gosayar Kari Charanan Vandan Jahoite Bignanash Abhishta Puran Vanchakopatrubhyascha kripa sindhu bhayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha anandalila maya vigrahaya hemavadivyascha visundaraya tasmei maha primarasa pradaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Balavi Varanam Bhoja Malane Nritya Shalane Nama Pranatapalaya Sri Krishnaya Namo Nama Sriman Rasurasarambi Vamshi Vatatatastitaha Karshan Venu Swaner Gopir Gopinatha Shriyestunaha Mahabhava Surupa Tvam Krishna Priya Variyasi Prema Bhakti Prade Devi Radike Tvam Namam Yaham Bhajami Radham Aravinda Netram Smarami Radham Madarasmitasyam Vadami Radham Karunabharadram Tuto Mamanyasti Gatir Nakapi Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Shrimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana Ki Jai 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 Shri Radhe Giriraj Dharana Ki Jai. A reading from Rasalila, chapter 29, verse 4. Vajastriya Krishna Grihita Manasa. We're discussing the sweetness of Krishna yesterday by speaking the Madharastakam by Shripad Vallabhacharya and deeply meditating on the different aspects of Krishna's Madhurya, Madhurya Purushottam Sri Krishna. We're discussing verse 5. Karanam Madharam, Taranam Madharam, Haranam madaram ramanam madaram vamitam madaram shamitam madaram madaradi pater akilam madaram. And we left off with shamitam madaram. And vamitam madaram, Krishna's yawning, even in the morning when he wakes up in Nandagaon and stretches his arms and hands and legs.
And he yawns.
It's very beautiful, vamitam. But moreover, shamitam madaram, a young child, 8 or 9 years old, waking up, such a beautiful, gentle, tender face, naturally attractive to the mother, the father, and other relatives. So innocent, so sweet, sun just coming through the window of the palace in Nandagaon, maybe landing on his bed. Krishna's relaxed, rested, peaceful. But then, Vallabhacharya is remembering that, and then he thinks, yes, even shamitam madaram, even Krishna's chastisements are sweet. Krishna tells in Gita, he says, I am the rod of chastisement. Spare the rod and spoil the child. So when one is getting punished, he's getting punished with a danda or a lati or a rod, or a yardstick, or a scale, I think you call it. 12 inches called a scale. A scale. I call it a ruler. And with the ruler, you rule. So then, a slapping. So even Krishna's chastisements are sweet. Because they reform us, they correct us. They improve us and bring us to the point of perfection. A mother scolds her child. She pulls his ear, chastises him. Famous posters of Yashoda pulling Lala's ear with her finger like this, threatening him, don't steal butter anymore. Krishna has a penchant or stealing. He likes it. We already read that he steals hearts. So this is also sweet, whether Krishna embraces you or slaps you, whether Krishna gives you a raise in pay or fires you from your job, if Krishna brings you windfall or Krishna takes everything. It's all very sweet. If you see Krishna's hand in everything, ultimately, God is a sweet protector. God is a sweet protector and the merciful provider. And he's always in the background supporting and providing everything for us. How can he do anything harmful or anything bad? God is good. So his rewards are good. His punishment is good. Not only good, but sweet. Madaram. Madaram. So text 6. Gunja madura, mala madura, yamuna madura, vichi madura, salilam madaram, kamalam madaram, madaradi pater, akilam madaram. Krishna wears a garland, a mala, gunja, not ganja. Don't get confused. Herb. But gunja, G-U-N-J-A, is a wild berry that grows in the jungle, open areas, near goshalas, etc. And very, very small, about this big. And it's white in color. Some are white. And most of them are bright red and black. So you see these malas or necklaces, they're mentioned often in the shastras describing Krishna's alankar and shringar in Vrindavan. It's not very costly. It's a wild berry that's free for the taking. It's not like gems and jewels, which are also available in nature, but they're very valuable and in big demand. Precious gems. This is a weed, a bush, a shrub. And this seed is not edible. It's poisonous. If you eat them, you'll haribol. But they have a lot of meaning. Krishna's friends, they string these gunja malas and they offer to Krishna. Krishna's gopis, they string these malas in the forest when they're biding their time and waiting for Krishna to come. And when Krishna sees this gunja berry or mala, little seed, gunja bija, then it becomes an udipan, an excitant, a stimulant to his loving memory of Radharani. Because it's mostly, it's a round, almost oblong berry, gunja berry, mostly red with some black. So the black and red is Sham and Radha. The red is the intense loving mood and feelings of Radharani's heart, her anurag, prem anurag. And then the Sham, that is Krishna's color. So when Krishna wears it, he feels, he remembers Radharani's love, and Radharani's love is surrounding his neck. And he feels so happy. And sometimes when Krishna is dancing in the Raslila, which we're reading about, and then Radharani dances in a very expert way for Krishna's pleasure. The gopis are playing musical instruments, and Radharani dances a solo dance, a feminine dance, Halisaka dance or Lasya dance. And Krishna is very happy. He claps. Acha. And then to show his satisfaction with Radharani's dance performance, then Krishna takes his gunjamala and places on Radharani's neck. When you see in Vrindavan, oftentimes in the ISKCON temple, Radhasham, Ramanreti, the deities of Radhasham, they're wearing these long, long gunjamalas. Very beautiful, very rasic. So this mala is so prized, and when Krishna leaves his house, he's a prince, the Yuvaraj, the only son of Nanda Maharaj, the king of Vrindavan. And his mother adorns him like a king's son, with pearl necklaces and ruby necklaces and diamond necklaces, so many wonderful necklaces. And then when Krishna goes to the forest, his friends say, "Oh, Lala, look, we have a gunja mala for you." "Oh, yes, very good." And he takes off the hero mala, and he takes off the markata mala, emerald necklace, and he takes off the padma mala, the ruby necklace, and he puts on the gunja mala, the gunja berries. He likes too much. Because this is Krishna's Nara Leela, his forest pastimes. He likes everything of the forest. The fruits, the leaves, he decorates his top knot and his hair with leaves and feathers, peacock feathers and leaves and flowers and seeds and berries and mineral. He takes the earth, the different colored minerals from Govardhan, the gray and the brown and reddish and yellow and saffron, all different colors, and puts on his face. Dirt on his face, and he decorates and looks so attractive, so beautiful. Designs and dots. As you see the deities in Vrindavan, they're painted in so many elaborate, beautiful ways. Radha Damodar, especially Radha Shyam Sundar in Vrindavan, they're famous for very elaborate painting. And our deities also, Radha Shyam. But this whole art started long ago, hundreds of years ago. Radha Damodar, first Radha Shyam Sundar, and then Radha Damodar. And then ISKCON has followed the example. Very, very beautiful. So Krishna, the lowliest of things can be worshipped and accepted by God. if it's offered with love. Madhuram. Madhuram means madhurya ras. Gunja madhuram. Madhuram means sweet love. Madhuram means intimate feelings of submission and attachment. And that's what Krishna says in Gita. If you offer me with your madhuram, with your sweetness, even a leaf, he says that, patram pushpam phalam toyam. Because the boys in Vrindavan, they offer Krishna leaves. Krishna, here's some leaves. And Krishna folds the leaf in a certain way and makes a pipe. It's called pan pipe. And it can make different sounds on it, like a whistle. And sometimes he takes leaves and puts in his hair, as I mentioned. Because it's the sweetness, the exchange. The peacocks dance and they drop a feather to worship Krishna with their feather. And Krishna takes it and honors their offering, putting it on his head. More punk. Gunja madhuram. Gunja madhura, mala madhura. Krishna's garland is very sweet. The famous Vaijayanti mala. 5 different flowers from the forest, each with beautiful fragrances. 5 flowers, 5 fragrances. All intoxicating, all attractive, all beautiful. And if someone receives a mala prasad, Krishna's malya prasad, then he becomes sweet also. Says in Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, if someone gets the mala madhura, the sweet garland of Krishna, then the bitterness of disease is removed. Disease or difficulty or suffering is a type of bitterness in one's life. So when one wears the mala, prasadi mala of Thakurji, Rupa Goswami says that that mala removes disease. Because it's a fragrance of Krishna. It's a touch of Krishna. The mala touched Krishna. The mala is carrying the fragrance of Krishna's body. Now it's adorning our body. So then we become spiritualized by the touch and contact of Krishna. We become sweet. Mala madhura. The Krishna's garland is sweet to smell, sweet to see, sweet to touch. And what makes Krishna's mala madhura? The color, the rang, the sparsha, the gandha, the fragrance, but something more. What is the sweetness inside the mala? What is the sweetness inside the mala that Vallabhacharya is appreciating? Mala madhura. The madhura, the sweetness inside Krishna's mala is Radharani. How so? How Radharani entered the mala? Radharani is a stri rup, braja striya, and the flowers pushpa rup, full rup, like this. Radharani's like this. Because Radharani, with her own beautiful, delicate, dainty hands, she strung that Vaijayanti mala for Krishna that morning. And when she was stringing the flowers, she was dipping each flower in her heart. Radharani was taking each flower and dipping it into her heart. This is a praying fool. This is one flower of my heart. This is one flower of my love-filled heart. And now I'll string this flower onto the garland. Then Radharani would take another flower and dip it into her praying-filled heart and saturate it with her mahabhav. With her mahabhav. And then she would string that on the garland. Make 2 flowers. Then 3. Then finally, Vaijayanti mala. 5 different flowers. Because 5 different flowers represent the 5 flavors of madhurya. The 5 flavors of Radharani's mala madhura. Of the sweetness of her love. Her madhurya. So that mala madhura becomes a madhurya ras mala. You buy a mala from the mali. It's some bela flower, gulab kadam. But it's not a prem. It's not a mahabhav mala. The sweetest flavor in love is mahabhav. And Radharani is the Swarupini of Mahabhav. She's the very form of Mahabhav. And when she touches something with her hands, then that object, the flowers that she touches, become imbued and saturated with her Mahabhav. Later, Radharani makes that mala, she gives it to Brindadevi. Brindadevi brings that mala in a special basket to give to Krishna. And she comes before Krishna and says, "This is a Vaijayanti mala strung by your Radha." So when Krishna takes the mala, he touches to his forehead, "Oh, my Swamini Radha, my Ishvari Radha. She has strung this garland for me. It's so special, it's so sacred." Then when Krishna smells that Vaijayanti mala strung by Radharani, Madhura, mala Madhura, he goes into ecstasy. He has satvikara. He trembles, romancha, vepatu, romancha. He trembles, his ashu, he cries, his hair stands on end. Because of smelling a garland? Because of smelling a flower garland? No, because of smelling and experiencing the love of Radharani. Mala Madhura. That love is in the mala. Radharani's love is woven in the mala. It's actually a garland of love. Mahabhav. So therefore, that's what makes Mala Madhura. That Krishna's mala is very sweet. Sweet with the Mahabhav of Radharani. Sweet with the fragrance of Radharani's Padma Pani, her lotus hands. So this is being glorified here. Gunja Madhura Mala Madhura. Yamuna Madhura Vichi Madhura. Says his garland is sweet. Krishna's Yamuna River is sweet. It's so sweet. When you drink the Yamuna water, the water is sweet. When I first came to Vrindavan 40 years ago, 1977, we drank the Yamuna water with our hands. It's very sweet and very clear and pure. And over time, Kaliya serpent has come inside. The Kaliya sarp has come inside. Naya, the Nava Kaliya avatar. Naya, the Naya Kaliya has come inside the Yamuna. Now so much disturbance in the sweetness of Yamuna. Because people's minds are not sweet. And their activities are not sweet. So now the water is becoming not sweet. Yamuna Madhura. Yamuna is sweet because of her love for Krishna. She moves to please Krishna. She has waves to please Krishna. When Krishna looks at the waves, Taranga and the Yamuna, then he thinks of Radharani's moods. He sits by the Yamuna and plays his flute. In his moments of reverie, remembering Radha, and sees the gentle waves and thinks, "Oh, this Yamuna is clothed. This Yamuna is wearing a dark dress, Nilambari, or dark water. And my Radharani wears a dark dress, Nilambari sari. And these waves are the moods, the bhavas of my Radharani. Avahita bhav. She covers her feelings of love. Many, many types of bhavas I'm seeing. And sometimes the waves in Yamuna, they make some crash and make some foam. And then Krishna thinks, "Oh, Yamuna is smiling. This white foam on the Yamuna waters from her waves. Yamuna is smiling or laughing. Is Radharani laughing at me? Nilambari Radha is laughing at me." And then he thinks, "No." He's playing his flute. Yamuna Madhura. Then again he sees Yamuna meandering like this. And he sees, oh, this is the beini of my Radha. This is the beautiful hair braid of my Radha. So glistening, so dark, so black and beautiful and shining and glimmering and soft and attractive. I will brush this Yamuna Madhura, as if I'm brushing Radharani's beini. And these banks of the Yamuna, the banks, the high tata, Yamuna tata, reminds me of Radharani's beautiful Nitamba, her hips. And her braid, her beini goes down her back and hangs between her hips. So the Yamuna is so sweet, because when I see the Yamuna, it reminds me of my Radha, her beautiful long black hair, her beautiful form, and I feel so happy and satisfied just by seeing Yamuna Devi. And then when we're thirsty, we come with the cows and we drink the waters. First I bring the cows down. I say, Niri Niri, Niri Niri, Tiri Tiri, Shun Shun. Come, O cows, come near, come near. Come down the bank and drink the water of the Yamuna. So then Hamshi comes, Davali, Chandani, Saraswati, all the cows come, all my mothers come, and they drink these sweet waters, Yamuna Madhura. My cows feel so happy. Then the boys, we drink the water after our bhojan and feel so relieved and happy. Then we play in the Yamuna. So many pastimes, so many sportings. The boys run up in the trees, then the monkeys jump, then we jump after them and fall in the water. Or sometimes a frog is on the bank of the Yamuna, and we make a face or a noise, and the frog jumps in the Yamuna, and we jump in the Yamuna after. All these things, all these pastimes, Yamuna provides for us. And sometimes, after Ras Leela, I've been dancing for hours with the gopis, and we feel so tired, so exhausted. So we come to Yamunaji, and we take shelter, and we bathe here, Radha and myself and all the gopis, and we feel so much relieved and so much happy. Yamuna Madhura, this is my Yamuna. And I love Yamuna. Even I go to the spiritual world when I leave these pastimes and become aprakat. But I will leave Yamuna here. And I will leave Giriraj here. And I will leave the Brajaraj. One expansion. So that everyone can take advantage. Bathing in Yamuna, worshipping Giriraj, having darshan, prikama, rolling in the dust, worshipping the Brajaraj, Rainur Madhura. So the Yamuna is so sweet. Yamuna Madhura, Vichi Madhura. Krishna's Yamuna is sweet. Her waves, water, and lotuses are very sweet. Salila means the waves, and Kamala means the lotus flowers. We heard in the beginning of Ras Leela about the Kumud, Kumudvantam, Akandamandalam Kumudvantam, that under the influence of the full moon on the night of Sharad, then the Kumud, the Komodaki, the white lotus flowers blossom at midnight. Very extraordinary. You'll not find anywhere in the world. Lotus flowers are growing in Thailand, Hawaii, India, Bali, all tropical places, but nowhere do lotus flowers blossom at night, at midnight, only in the day. But in our Vrindavan, they blossom at midnight. Why? For Krishna's happiness, for Krishna's pleasure, and to heighten his ecstasy on the Ras Leela night. He sees the Kumudvantam in the Yamuna, Yamuna Madhura, and he thinks, oh, that beautiful gauri, that beautiful Shama, that Gauri Radha, her beautiful fair face is like a lotus, tender, soft, moist, and fragrant. And I'm seeing that her face in the Yamuna, and that Yamuna is dark like me, and her face is light like her. So the Yamuna again provides a sweet memory, Yamuna Madhura, a sweet reminiscence, a sweet reminder of what's about to happen, that Radharani will come to the bank of the Yamuna and meet Krishna there. And they will dance and dance and dance throughout the night besides the Yamuna. Madharadipate Rakilam Madharam. Text 7. Gopi Madhara Lila Madhura Yuktam Madharam Buktam Madharam Rishtam Madharam Shlishtam Madharam Madharadi Pater Akilam Madharam. Gopi Madhara. Krishna's gopis are very sweet. They are his Madhurya Mayi partners. And Madhurya Ras, the gopis are the source of Krishna's sweetness. You have a glovjaman, but without the sugar, it's not sweet. You have rasgulla, but without the sugar, it's not sweet. You have rubbery, but without the sugar, it's not sweet. You have ice cream, minus the sugar, it's not sweet. So if you have Krishna without gopis, he is not sweet. He's Maryada, he's Ram, he's Vishnu. But Krishna plus gopis makes Madhurya Purushottam. The source of the sweetness and sham is Madhuri Radha. Her love, her attachment, her service, her dedication. There's nothing sweeter. If someone has a beloved in his life, dedicated, surrendered, committed, submissive, kind, warm, and caring, and affectionate, that is sweetness. The woman adds sweetness to a man's life. Gentleness and tenderness and the soft side of life. So the gopis, Gopi Madhara, the gopis are very sweet. Not only sweet, but the source of Krishna's sweetness, Madhurya Purushottam. The active principle in all sweets is sugar. So the active principle in Krishna's sweetness is Radharani and the gopis, who are all expansions of her. Because you take milk and then sugar, and make so many expansions from that milk and sugar, and what do you have? Rubbery, rasgulla, burfi, etc. Ice cream. So the sugar is the sweetness of Radha, and the various forms of milk or various forms of Radharani expanded as different gopis. Kayavyuha gopis, Yashasakis. She is the origin of sweet. She has that essence of all the gopis, which is sweet. And they have all different forms, which is variegated forms of milk to make rubbery and rasmalai and rasgulla, sweet rice, ice cream, kefir, etc. Whatever sweet you can imagine. Gopi Madhara, Sakis, gopis. Madhurya Mayi Radha. Sweetness personified. We say that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas worship the sweetness within Krishna, not the Aishwarya or the grandeur, the power, the pomp, the omnipotence, but the sweetness, the sweet leelas, the sweet dealings, the sweet speech, and ultimately the source of his sweetness, the Gaudiya's worship, Radharani, the sweetest of the sweet. Gopi Madhara. Lila Madhara. This is Krishna's characteristic. Rupa Goswami says this is one of his main qualities. Lila Madhurya. His pastimes were so sweet, because they always have happy endings. Something sweet makes you happy from beginning to end. If you have a rasgulla, the first bite is sweet, the middle bite is sweet, and the last bite is sweet. And then you want to have another one, more sweet. The Krishna's lila madura. His lilas are very sweet. The beginning of his lila, the middle of his lila, the conclusion. A rakshas, a demon, comes to kill Krishna. And Krishna smiles, he's wearing a garland. He plays with them in a sweet way. He jokes with them. He runs behind them, pulls their tail, spins them around, walks in their mouth, jumps up and down, comes out. And then when it's all said and done, he liberates them. He loves them eternally in one of his forms. So the sweet ending. Madaram samapayat. Madaram samapayat. Payat. Means the ending should be sweet. This is a law of Sanskrit drama, natyam. It should end on a sweet note. Modern movies, oftentimes the hero gets shot or the heroine dies or something. Anticlimactic movies. Instead of a wonderful, sweet, happy ending climax, it becomes something of a twisted ending, surprise ending. That's considered artistic. But it's not acceptable in Vedic culture. Everything should end on a sweet note. No meal is complete without a sweet. So no drama is complete without a sweet ending. So lila madara. Krishna's birth is sweet. Earth was plagued by tyranny and atheists, heavy burden. People were hiding in fear, and cows were slaughtered, babies were slaughtered. Sounds familiar to the modern time. Under Kansa's rule, babies were being slaughtered, like now. Under Kansa's rules, cows were being slaughtered, like now. And Krishna came and stopped all the bitterness of murder, and stopped all the sour activities of cheating and lying and fear. It created sweetness in nature, and sweetness in people's minds, and sweetness in society. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam madharmasya tadatmanam sujamyam. So Krishna's Janamotsav in Bhagavatam, very happy time for everyone. Very sweet time. Ugrasen, the father of King Kans, was unjustly arrested by his son and locked in prison and tortured by his son. Krishna released him and honored him as the king of Mathura, worshipped him, restored him to his grandeur. And that wicked, Gnostic, atheist, Kamsa was disposed of by his bad karma. Lila Madara. So Krishna's growing up is sweet, his stealing is sweet, his Ras Lila is sweet, everything is sweet about Krishna. Lila means interaction with God and his devotees, sweet dealings, because the basis is love. The characteristic of love is sweetness. And Krishna's lila is Madhurya Lila. Lila Purushottam. So the very characteristic of Krishna is he's the Lord of sweetness. So lila Madhura. So all his pastimes with his Parishads, these are eternal associates, or with conditioned souls are very sweet. If God enters one's life, if Krishna enters one's life, one may be a sadhaka, a practitioner of bhakti yoga, the yoga of love. Bhakti yoga means the yoga of sweetness, the yoga of love, the yoga of loving sweetness. Because the ishta in bhakti yoga is the Lord of sweet love. Madhurya Purushottam. So when one worships Madhurya Purushottam, Leela Madhura, then his actions, his Leela, you can't say exactly Leela, but his movements, his exchanges, his interactions with the Lord of sweet love, Krishna, become very sweet. His life takes on a sweet turn. A frown becomes a smile. The teardrops on the face dry up. The tension in the mind disappears. And the sadness in the heart is replaced by fulfillment and joy and encouragement. A hope to live. A hope of the future. This is the sweet touch of God, of Krishna, one's life. So Leela means the interactions with his devotees, his pastimes. But Krishna's pastimes are going on eternally with everyone. Srishti Leela. And with every jiva. Every jiva is a part of God. We're meant to enjoy with God, to serve with God, live with God, and love with God. Love God and receive God's love. A life of love, a life of sweetness, a life with Krishna. Leela Madhura. But when we turn our backs on Krishna, we say, no thank you, I'm busy. I have my own program. Then life is a struggle. Prakriti Stanikarshati. A very great struggle. Tension, anxiety, bitterness. But Leela Madhura. Leela Purushottam, Madhurya Purushottam. He's inviting everyone. You want Leela Madhura, you want sweet life, you want sweet pastimes, you want happiness and joy. Surrender. Turn to me. Embrace me. Leela. Leela, the acharyas, they analyze this word Leela. Krishna Leela. Makanchur Leela. Leela. Li means prem alingata. Li. Prema Lingata, a warm, deep embrace of loving security, fulfillment, and happiness. La means to lelo, la, to accept. So Krishna is offering Leela Madhura, Leela Madhura, he's offering to everyone. Accept my embrace, accept the embrace of God, return his embrace with your own embrace. We embrace God by embracing the principle of surrender. We embrace God by accepting his teachings and surrendering to them and following them. We embrace God by living a life of love centered on pleasing and satisfying God, Sri Krishna, the sweet Lord of divine love. The sweet Lord of divine love and play. Krishna's playing from throughout the day, morning, noon, or night. He's only playing. You read anywhere where Krishna's working? Vrindavan, Krishna doesn't work. In Dwarka, Krishna goes to work. Every morning he goes to Siddharma Assembly House and he appears to do some legislation and political activities there. He appears to work in Kurukshetra, working as a chariot driver, following the commands of Arjuna. But in Vrindavan, Krishna only plays, following the whims of his heart and the cares of his mind. So we worship Vrindavan Sri Krishna, Leela Madhura, and his pastimes are so sweet. Only Leela, only play, from day to night. Yuktam Madhuram. Yuktam Madhuram, his paraphernalia and ornaments are very sweet. Everything that's connected with Krishna is sweet and personal. Krishna's ornaments have names. His bracelets, his flute has a name, Murali. It's a name of a Sakhi, Murali Sakhi, or Vamshi Sakhi, or Venu is a masculine name. And they have personality, and they have an intimate connection with Krishna. He has a mala, it's called Vaijayanti Mala. And he has necklaces. Everything has some name. Because it's personal. They have their own characteristics. And they enhance Krishna's pastimes. Yuktam Madhura. Those ornaments and paraphernalia that are connected with Krishna. It includes not only his ornaments and decorations, but even his pet animals. Krishna has pet animals also, and they have names. A pet bull, a pet cow, a pet deer, a pet peacock, Tundikari, and all different names they have. It's sweet, personal. Uktam Madaram, his food is sweet. We discussed this also, we mentioned before. His food is very sweet. Sweet to look at. When we worship Krishna, even in Nitya Leela, Krishna's eternal pastimes, in the morning time, Radharani and all the Sakis come to Nandagram to cook Krishna's breakfast. Then they make very nice arrangements on the dining room table, a raised table. They arrange all the rice, mountains of rice with ghee floating on it, and then so many fruits and sweets. Very beautiful arrangement. The Mother Yashoda comes and she inspects the preparations and she said, "Oh, Rohini, who has made all these wonderful preparations so beautifully adorned on this table and such beautiful designs?" Rohini Ma says, "Oh, that's none other than your Radharani. Radharani has made such a beautiful offering for Krishna's breakfast. This is his bhog offering, his nashta. 7 o'clock in the morning in Nandagram. It's told in our shastras." So very attractively, it says that Radharani arranges, puts the sweets in this place and the water cups here and everything very, very beautiful. So it looks very sweet arrangement. And in the mandirs when we worship Krishna, we often offer chapan bhog in front of the Lord. And then the curtains are closed and everyone leaves the temple and Krishna enjoys his offering, buktam, bhog offering. Then later, the curtains are open and all the yatris and devotees come to have bhog darshan. They come to have darshan of Krishna's chapan bhog, his remnants. And why do people come for darshan? To appreciate the beauty of the offering, to appreciate the varieties of the offerings. So much pukka bhog, samosas and namkeen and sweets and rice. Very, very beautiful arrangement. Everywhere in India, go to Nathdwara or Balaji or any temple, they often give bhog darshan to the yatris and bhaktas. See how sweetly the Lord is being worshipped. See how sweetly the Lord is enjoying buktam madaram. Just to see the bhog of the Lord is sweet darshan. Then if we get Mahaprasadam, Jagannath Mahaprasadam, Nathji Mahaprasadam, then how much sweetness you can appreciate yourself. People appreciate that the taste of Krishna's food from the temple is much more superior than what my wife makes at home. My own wife, who loves me so much, she cooks the same thing. When I go to the temple and eat the same preparation, it tastes so much better. Because it's special, mixed with all that sweetness of Krishna's mood of enjoying. Because everyone's cooking for Krishna's pleasure, not the pleasure of their husband or family, the pujaris. So the prasadam takes on a very extraordinary sweet taste and sweet effect. If the husband eats wonderful food cooked by his wife, he feels happy, he feels satisfied. It increases his attachment to his wife. But when one takes the sweet food of Krishna, Mahaprasad, that increases his attachment to God, not his attachment to his wife. And that fills him with spiritual satisfaction and appreciation for God. He becomes pure. He actually becomes detached. We've seen buktam madaram. We've seen people take prasad and become detached from the material world. We met many people in India They're accustomed to taking non-veg and taking onions and garlic. And so we would visit them, come to their house, and bring them Mahaprasad from the temple once a week. I have many examples. And gradually, as we're giving them Mahaprasad every week, the people would say, husbands and wives, "Oh, Swamiji, we've become vegetarians. We've become, something has happened to us. Just by taking this Mahaprasadam, we've decided we should become vegetarians." I said, "Very nice. That's a sweet prabhav, madhur prabhav, the sweet effect of Krishna's prasad, his mercy, his grace. Bhuktam madara." And then as they take more Mahaprasadam, "Oh, Swamiji, you'll be pleased to know that we gave up onions and garlic. We no longer like, we like so much this Mahaprasad. In fact, now we're cooking in our house and offering all our food to Thakurji, to one picture of Radha and Krishna. And every day we're taking Mahaprasad." It's amazing how much sweetness is there. People will tell me. So this is the effect, that the sight of Mahaprasad, the taste of Mahaprasad. And when Krishna takes the Mahaprasad, bhuktam madaram, again, it's touched by Radharani. It's cooked by Radharani, full of her love, full of her dedication. And then when Krishna takes that, oh, so sweet. Is Krishna tasting the foods itself or the sweetness in the food? It's a sweet taste in the food. What makes the food taste so sweet is Radharani's love. Bhuktam madaram. So the ultimate sweetness of Krishna's repast or food is the love of Radharani, which is mixed in it. The acharyas say, why did Krishna steal butter in Gokul Lila? He had thousands and thousands of cows. Nanda Maharaj had 9 lakhs of cows. There was so much milk flowing from the Goshala, it was coming out in nadis and running through the town, and whole nalis, you can say, gutters full of milk. Because the cows, they were milking the cows, and the milk was coming out faster than they could move the buckets. They put a bucket under the cow, and they're milking, and by the time they change buckets, already 5 liters goes down. Not only that, as soon as Krishna started walking towards the Goshala, the cows started releasing milk. They were so happy and joyous. No shortage of milk. So many servants and dasis in Nanda Maharaj's palace making hundreds of kilos of ghee and butter every day. But yet the Yuvaraj, the prince, Krishna, is crawling next door to some elderly gopi's house to steal her butter and yogurt at 5 o'clock in the morning when little children should be sleeping tightly in their beds. Why? Because of scarcity in his house? Because he was hungry? He was so hungry that he ran out of his house to steal some butter? No. He went to those houses, Makan Chor Sri Krishna, to relish the sweetness of the gopis' love. The sweetness, the madaram, the gopis' madaram, vatsalya madaram, the sweetness of their motherly love and the sweetness of their desire to please Krishna and satisfy Krishna was packed in every single turn of the churning rope. In the morning, at 4 o'clock in the morning, and the gopis churning the yogurt into butter, and the rope is tied around one churning rod, and that's tied around a pillar, And she's going one, two, sh, sh. Every turn of that rope as it's churning is her love. Madhura Mathura. Mat. The churning of that wooden churning mortar is actually her heart. The churning rod is the heart of that gopi. And she's praying, "Oh Krishna, I'm making this butter for you. Please come and steal this butter. Please come and steal my heart." So Krishna's thinking in the morning when he left his house, which gopi has put the most love in her offering? Which gopi has churned her yogurt with the most love this morning? Let me see. Oh, yeah. I feel so much love coming from this elderly gopi. So then Krishna goes to her house, not to steal butter or yogurt, to steal love, to take her love. And that's what makes it the Bhuktam Madharam. That's what makes it so sweet. Everything becomes sweet if love is there. They say you can go to hell if you have a friend to go with. But even if you're in heaven with no friends, heaven becomes hell. You go to heaven and have no friends, only a kela, then that heaven becomes hell. But if you go to hell and you have a friend, then you're in heaven. So if love is there, no matter how difficult life is, the sweetness and satisfaction and fulfillment of love will carry you through and give a sweet overtone to the whole life. So Krishna's sweetness, he experiences sweetness in his food. Bhuktam Madharam. Rishtam Madharam. His delights are sweet. His play, his delight, Rishtam. Then Shlishtam Madharam. His embrace. Ashlishyava Paratam Panashtamam. Ashlishya. Shlishtam means embrace. Krishna's embrace is very sweet. One can only say that if they've been embraced by Krishna. No one can say God's embrace is very sweet. But Acharya Vallabhacharya, he can say, yes, that Krishna's shlishtam madharam, his embrace is very sweet. I felt his embrace. I went to Gokul and Krishna came from behind a tree. He came behind me and he embraced me. Then he laughed and covered my eyes and said, "Who is it? Oh, who is it? Who is it?" And then he ran around in the front and embraced me again. So one who has felt the embrace of Krishna, he realizes how sweet it is. How sweet it is. Shlishtam Madharam. Bilva Mangala Thakur and Krishna Karnamritam. He says, because Bilva Mangala, he went blind by choice. Shlishtam Madharam. Bilva Mangala Thakur, he experienced the embrace of Krishna. He writes about it in his famous Krishna Karnamritam. Bilva Mangala was a great Vaishnav saint who lived 1,000 years ago. He was a worshipper of Krishna and Radha. And he was coming to Vrindavan, being advised to take shelter in Vrindavan because his life in South India was one of disgrace. He had fallen into bad activity. He had taken shelter of a prostitute, went mad for that prostitute. So she told him, "You have so much attachment to this body of mine made of flesh and fat. You're so mad to enjoy this body. But if you could transfer your attachment to God, and become mad after God, you could be so happy and experience God in your life. What has happened to you, Bilvamangala? You're such a virtuous and pious person at birth, and you've degraded yourself to such a despicable position. Bilvamangala said, "Yes, you are quite right. But where can I find this God that you say so much about?" And that prostitute named Chintamani, she said, "You go to Vrindavan. You go to Vrindavan, and there in Vrindavan, you will meet Krishna. You'll feel the Shlishtam Madharam. You'll experience the sweet embrace of that Lord. Then your life will attain meaning and purpose and peace and fulfillment." Bilvamangala set north to Vrindavan from South India, walking. As he was walking, he came to a well. He was thirsty, and to slake his thirst, he went to that well to take some water. And there, at that well, he saw a very beautiful woman. He became attracted, because that was his nature. He became immensely lustful, immensely lusty to enjoy that woman. He followed her to her home. After she entered her home, he knocked on the door. Then a man opened the door and said, "Yes, oh mendicant, oh wandering mendicant, oh sage, how may I serve you?" "Yes, I saw that your wife must live here. I followed her here. I would like to meet her. May I meet her?" So the householder, the Grihastha man, he said, "Yes, come in. Unusual request, but please come in." So then he brought his wife forward and said, one wandering mendicant, on his way to Vrindavan wants to talk to you, say hello or meet you, give you blessings." His wife came out in the presence of her husband and that Bilvamangala. And Bilvamangala said, "Oh Mataji, please, you have two hairpins holding your hair. Will you give those to me?" Very strange bakshish, very unusual dhan to request. "Certainly, why not?" So she gave to that mendicant, Bilvamangala. And what did he do? A most amazing thing. A most surprising thing, a most horrible thing. Imagine, in your own living room, a wandering unknown saint, Atithi Narayan, arrives at your door, begging charity, drinks a few sips of water, accepts gentle words and an asan, receives a don of insignificant hairpins. But then, he took the hairpins, held them firmly in his fingertips, and he gouged out his eyes, blood gushing everywhere, a horrible sight. "Oh, what have you done? Oh, mendicant." "Never mind," he said. "I'll go my way." So Bilvamangala became blind. Why did he do this terrible act? of mutilating his body, blinding himself with his woman's hairpins. Because he was cursing himself, he was on his way to Vrindavan, pursuing God and leaving behind him in South India a life of lust, a life of lusty pursuits with a prostitute, a life of illicit attachment, going to God, illumination, enlightenment, purification, and moksha, liberation, freedom at last. But again on the way, he became a victim of his lust, so difficult to control, so difficult to give up. Even on the path of renunciation, even on the path of vairagya, he was a kela, no home, no wife, no children, just a jolly small pack on his shoulder, wandering towards Vrindavan. But still, he was carrying in his heart the heavy burden of calm, lust, invincible foe. So he destroyed his eyes because his eyes were the cause of his, he thought the cause of his problem. Because as soon as he would see a beautiful woman, again he became attracted. Let me finish my vision so I can no longer see the objects of my attachment. Because if I don't see them, then I cannot meditate on the external objects of my intense attachment. Out of sight, out of mind. Finally, as Bilvamangala is wandering, he got near Vrindavan. He came to the outer border of Vrindavan, just entering. With so much difficulty, he was walking with a stick and stumbling, falling down in a ditch sometimes, hurting himself, scratching his arms and legs, marring his face. Blind man, very difficult walking. So much time. But when he came to Vrindavan, some little boy came and greeted Bilvamangala Thakur at the edge of Vrindavan and said, "Oh Baba, Swagatam, welcome to Vrindavan." And he held his hand, little boy, 5-7 years old, said, "Baba, where are you going? What are you looking for?" "Oh, Lala, I'm looking for Vrindavan. I want to go to Vrindavan." Then Lala said, "This is Vrindavan. You have arrived in Brajadham, Sridham Vrindavan, Chaurasi Kosh Vrindavan, the home of Yamuna and Govardhan, Barsana, Nandagram, Gokul. You've come. And, oh Baba, why have you come to this Vrindavan?" And then Baba said, "Oh Lala, I have come to Vrindavan searching for Krishna." But then Lala said, "But Baba, you're blind. You're blind. How will you're searching means you want to see something, you want to find something. But how will you know if you find, because you can't see? How will you know if you see Krishna, you can't see? You have no eyes, you're blind." "I don't know. I have faith that in Vrindavan, somehow I will see Krishna." So then Lala took him by the hand and brought him into Vrindavan and took him by the Yamuna, by one beautiful kund there, Brahma kund. And Lala said, "Baba, this is a very beautiful place, Brahma kund. You stay here and do bhajan and you try to find Krishna. I'm sure you'll be successful." Then Lala disappeared, the young boy disappeared. Baba was doing bhajan, Bilvamangala. And as he did bhajan in Vrindavan, he started to have spurtis, experiences of God in Vrindavan. And every day in the afternoon, because Baba did not do Madhukari, he did not go to beg for food. He was always praying and crying out to the Lord. Kripa karo Bhagavan, Kripa karo, O Krishna Kripa karo, O Govinda, O Damodar Madhav. And every afternoon around sunset, that little boy would come with some milk and bring some milk to Bilva Mangala. And sometimes the boy would play with Bilva Mangala. And he would go behind him and put his hands over Bilva Mangala's eyes. Hey Baba, who is it? Can you see? Oh Baba, who is holding your eyes? Do you know? Then Baba would try to grab him with his blind hands. He can't see. And then Lala would run away laughing. Ha ha. You can't catch me. And then Baba would go, come boy, come, I'll catch you. You chora, you chalak balak, I'll catch you. And Baba would move around like this. Bilva Mangala Thakur. Then one day, after many, many days and months, Bilva Mangala realized that this Lala that's bringing me milk every day, this boy that's playing with me, hide and seek, and touching my eyes, blind man's bluff or whatever, I think he's Nandulal. I feel he's Yashoda Dulal. He's Krishna. So then, the next day, Lala came with the milk in the evening. And then Lala grabbed Bilva Mangala's hand. And Bilva Mangala pulled him towards him to embrace him. And then Lala said, ah! And he broke his hand away from the Babas and ran away. He said, Baba, you can't embrace me. And then Baba said, oh Lala, I've already embraced you in my heart. I'm feeling your Shlishtam Madaram in my heart. You can get away from my hands, but you can never get out of my heart. Shlishtam Madaram, because I'm embracing you in my heart. I've trapped you and captured you in my heart. Ha! Then Krishna laughed. So this is a pastime that describes this phrase, Shlishtam Madaram, that Krishna's embrace is very sweet. Bilva Mangala experienced it. Right? Because he's sincere and serious sadhak. So someone who becomes so sincere and so serious in his sadhana, Krishna will come and embrace him tightly in his heart. Shlishtam madaram. Shlishtam means alingata. Prem alingata. So Krishna's embrace is very sweet. Because oftentimes we see in this world, people are unhappy, distressed and disturbed. So many upheavals in their private lives or their business life or their family lives. And they confide in a friend. Listen, can you help me? Can you suggest something for my difficulties in life? I'm facing very, very hard times. Financially, emotionally, with my family, even my own health. So someone might say, I think you should go on vacation. I think you need a change of scenery. You should go somewhere. Go meet some friends. Take up a hobby. Take up some sports. Go to the gym. Do some exercise. Start walking on the beach every day. So many remedial measures. But then someone might say, why don't you go to the temple? Go to the mandir. Why don't you start reading about Krishna? Hearing about Krishna? God can remove all suffering. God can solve all problems. God can remove all unhappiness. Someone may suggest, Then you take up their advice. Then shlishtam madaram. You feel the embrace of Krishna in your life. You feel the hand of Krishna on your head. A new light, a new change. An awakening. A new dawn. Well, this is our own experience. Shlishtam madaram. Madaradi pater akilam madaram. Last shloka. Gopa madara. Gavo madara. Yashtir madara. Shristir madara. Dalitam madaram. Falitam madaram. Madaradi pater akilam madaram. This is the last of the Ashtakam. Madhura Ashtakam. Gopa Madhura. Krishna's Gopas are very sweet. Their behavior is sweet. Their conduct, their speech, their dealings, their play, their association, their appearance, their dress. Krishna feels sweet satisfaction with his friends. A good friend is obviously a source of sweetness. Very, very rare in this world. To find one good friend in this Kali Yuga, it's very difficult. We become betrayed by our friends. We become disappointed by our friends. We become let down by our friends. This is the age, Kali Yuga. Our friends may be males or females, and maybe even our own wife or husband. Such an age. So there's the initial sweetness of the friendship became sour and bitter. I have a phrase in America, today's friend is tomorrow's enemy. Kali Yuga. Today's friend, aaj dost kal ari. Ari means enemy. Ari. Today's friend becomes tomorrow's enemies. Oh, what happened to so-and-so? Oh, we were best of friends, but then something happened. Oh, what happened? He borrowed 5 lakhs, never paid back, and ran away. Acha. So you see him anymore? No, I thought it wasn't very profitable to see him anymore. He let me down. He was my best friend, but he married my girlfriend. He was my best friend, but he ran away and married the girl that I was supposed to marry. So that's a more common experience. Oh, she's my best girlfriend. And then next day someone says, do you know about your best girlfriend? Guess what? She's planning to marry your best boyfriend. Huh? How could she do that? She's my friend for so many years. I trusted her. We did so many things together. That's right. This is Kali Yuga. Expect the unexpected. But Krishna's friends are not like that. He can always depend on them to cover for him. Even his friends go to such an extent that they'll change their dress. His boyfriends will dress themselves as girls to facilitate Krishna's meeting with Radharani. Now that's going a long way. A boy agreeing to dress up as a girl. You have boyfriends. You say, listen, can you do me a favor? Can you dress up as a girl and go spy on my girlfriend? Obviously, your boyfriend, you know, your best of buddies friend will never agree to dress up as a woman. He'll say, what if someone sees me? What if someone recognizes me going down the street? Hey, Sunil, why are you dressed as a woman? How embarrassed you'll be. How ashamed you'll be. Or some woman, you say, oh, can you dress up as a man and go to the office and see if my husband is behaving himself? So to speak. But Krishna's friends are so sweet that they do that. They're willing to do anything. The sweetness, the depth of their love, the sweetness and depth of their surrender is such, they'll do anything to please their friend. They'll never disappoint Krishna. They'll never let down Krishna. They'll never frustrate. Krishna can always count on his friends in any situation. So Krishna's friends are very sweet. Gopa Madhura. One friend of Krishna's is named Sridham. Sridham is very sweet. Very sweet friend. And Krishna and Sridham are like do sharir ekatma. Like two bodies and one soul. Who is Sridham? Sridham Sakha. Sridham Gop. He is the older brother of Radharani. That's a very intelligent move. Krishna is very intelligent. He made best friends with his girlfriend's older brother. That's a sure way to find out the secrets of Radha, the movements of Radha, the feelings of Radha. Well, Krishna is very intelligent when it comes to his loving dealings. So he made best of friends with Sridham. It just so happened one time that Radharani was supposed to come out and meet Krishna in the forest one afternoon to play, to enjoy, to meet together. And Krishna was waiting for Radharani very anxiously, very eagerly. He had come out with all the cows and boys, Krishna. And then on some pretext, Krishna told the boys, listen, we've all eaten our tiffins. We're very full. And it's a very hot day. Why don't we all sleep together under this banyan tree? And then all the cows are here under the trees, and Yamuna is nearby, and we'll just relax for a few hours. And in the evening time, we'll go back to Nandagram, to our goshalas and palaces. Oh, very good idea, Lala. So everyone said, that's nice. So everybody went to sleep. Then Krishna, after some time, he woke up. All the boys were sleeping, except Sridham. So then Krishna said, hey, Hare, Sridham, come. Let's go. So then Krishna and Sridham came to Radhakund. And they're sitting by Radhakund. And Krishna's telling Sridham, I'm so much missing your younger sister. I'm so much yearning and hankering to see her and be with her and relish her association and give her mine. I miss her too much. But I've heard from Brindadevi that your sister is being kept in the house today and she cannot come home. She's staying with her mother-in-law. Because by this time Radharani had grown up and she was, some so-called marriage was arranged with some so-called husband named Ayan Ghosh Abhimanyu. And then Radharani was staying with her mother-in-law. And as everyone knows, mothers-in-law can get somewhat disagreeable and unsupportive of their daughter-in-law's wishes, to put it mildly. So now this particular afternoon, Radharani told her mother-in-law, Jatila, oh, mother-in-law, I want to go out to pick some flowers. Because in this season, some very beautiful flowers are blossoming in the afternoon, some Jaba flowers. I want to pick them for puja early tomorrow morning for Surya Puja. But, like most mother-in-laws, Jatila was very suspicious. Very, very suspicious of her daughter-in-law, Radha, Radharani. She said, I don't trust you. I don't believe you're going to pick flowers. I think you're going to meet that boy, that boy from Nandagram, who's causing so much trouble in the village. And I cannot bear that to happen. I have to protect you. So you stay home. You can't go out and collect those flowers. We'll send some other servants to get those. Radharani was locked in the house and restrained. She could not get out. And previously it was arranged for the Sanket, the appointed meeting with Krishna at Radhakund. But now that plan was frustrated by the mother-in-law. Krishna was waiting for Radharani. She didn't come to Radhakund per the appointment. Then a parrot, one tota, came. He said, Hare Sham, very bad news. Your Priyaji, Radha, has been locked in the house. She can't get out of her room. Her mother-in-law is blocking the door to the outside. She can't go anywhere. So today, I don't think you'll meet your Radha. And the parrot flew away. Krishna was so sad. His heart was broken. His excitement, anticipation of meeting Radha again in the groves beside Radhakund, were now being frustrated. He was crying. And Subal was sitting next to him. Oh Krishna, why are you so unhappy? He said, Subal, I can't meet Radha. What is the point of my existing? If I can't be with my Radha, why I even carry on anymore? Well, Sridham put his arm around Krishna's shoulder. So, oh my friend, oh Sakha, you don't have to be sad. Listen, I am Sridham. I will bring my younger sister here somehow. So then Krishna was, yes, go. Sridham went. Gopa Madara, such a sweet friend. Do anything to please his friend. If my friend is unhappy, that's my unhappiness. If my friend feels unhappy, then I feel unhappy and I want to remove his unhappiness and make him laugh again, make him smile, make him happy again. Gopa Madara. That's the sweetness of friendship, the sweetness of love. You'll die for your friend. You'll give anything to your friend. This is the meaning of true friendship. In life or death, I always serve my friend. Gopa Madara. Sridham went to Yavat Gram, the place of Radharani's mother-in-law, Jatila. And he hatched a scheme. So he went there. And then Jatila was just outside the door to the house, making some gober patties. Oh, Are Sridham, kya kare? What are you doing? Oh, Mata, you don't know. One of my small cows, my small vatsa, he's ran away from the herd, and I'm looking for her. And I think maybe she came this way somewhere. Have you seen Vatsa? No, I haven't seen. Well, let me look. I look in your here and there. Okay, you look. So Sridham is looking like this for his Vatsa, his so-called lost calf. Then he sees that Chatila is preoccupied with her duties outside the house. Sridham sneaks in the house. He goes to Radharani's bedroom. He says, Radharani, my sister, oh Bain, the younger sister, listen, Krishna is so unhappy. He's so distressed in your separation. He's about to leave this world. He can't bear another minute without your darshan. He can't live another second without seeing you and hearing your sweet words. He's dying without your association. We have to do something. Oh, sucker. Oh, bhai. What can we do? Huh. I have an idea. We'll change clothes. You dress in my clothes. Because his younger sister. And I'll dress as a gopi. And you dress as a gopa. So here's an example of a man dressing as a woman because of his friendship for Krishna. That Sri Rama agrees to dress as a young girl. And so then they change clothes. And Sri Rama dresses up as a sakhi. And Radharani dresses up as a gopa. Sri Rama gopa. And then she goes out of the house and moves very carefully. Then Chatila says, "Oh, Sri Rama, you found your calf." And Sri Rama makes one of these moves. Yes, yes. And then it's actually Radharani. So then goes and meets Krishna at Radhakund. And then Krishna sees Sri Rama returning. "Oh, Sri Rama, where's your sister? Where's your younger sister, Radha? Oh." And then it goes on, more Leela goes on after that. Radharani plays a little bit with Krishna to test his love. But this is an example of Gopa Madhura. How sweet are the friends of Krishna. And how sweet pastimes he exchanges. And what is the extent of their sweet dealings and behavior. What they'll do to please Krishna. Gavo Madhura. Krishna's cows are very sweet. Krishna loves his cows. He lives with the cows. He plays with the cows. He pets the cows. He serves the cows. He worships the cows. He runs behind the cows all day. 9 hours a day he's with the cows in the pastures. He brings them back to the Goshala, milks the cows. And they love him. The cows love Krishna. His name is Gopal. Govinda Gopal. Protector of the cows, the lover of the cows. And they love Krishna in return. When Krishna calls them by their names, they come running. They all have individual names, like any lover has an individual name. And it's a very sweet relationship. Krishna plays a flute and the cows run from all directions. Oh, Davali, oh, Shavali, oh, Gange, Pishtaki, oh, Hamsi. So many cows, they all have names. They run, and when they come around Krishna, then Krishna taps them on the nose like this, tong, on the snout, tong, tong. And sometimes they lick Krishna, they lick his legs or his arms. Very, very sweet. Then on Gopastami, and then there's Gopuja, then Krishna personally worships the cows. He mixes haldi, with some oil, and he puts his hands there, some turmeric. Then he, like this, he puts his handprints on the cow. You see? The print of his handprint on the cows. You're mine, you're mine, you're mine. You're mine, you're mine, you're mine. The cows are very sweet. And what is the sweetest attribute of the cow? Their sweet, gentle behavior. Their sweet, gentle look in their face and eyes. Their sweet, gentle walking and gait. But the most sweet aspect of the cow, Gavo Madhura, is their Amritam. Amritam. Payamritam. Payamritam. The nectar of their milk, Paya. Their dude, their milk is like nectar. Amritam. Gives life to the dying. It's the anupam for oshadi, milk, ghee. You mix medicine with milk and ghee and enters the human body, one becomes healthy, rejuvenated, life extending. The Krishna's cows, Gavo Madhura, they give this sweetest of all substances, milk. And when Krishna milking the cows, as anyone knows who grows up in the country, the first milk that comes from the cow, within a few minutes, the milk is naturally very, very sweet for a couple minutes. If you milk the cow in the bucket and drink that milk, very, very sweet. No need for sugar or jaggery or shahad, honey. But But then after a few minutes, that sweetness disappears. This is a phenomenon. So that sweetness, because the milk goes to the cow, to the baby cow, the vatsa, and she tastes so much sweetness, and that sweetness in the fresh milk also digests the milk. That sweetness is madara, gavo madara. The milk itself is amritam and very sweet. So when Krishna is milking the cow, then he takes directly the sweet milk of the cow. So gavo madara, Krishna's cows are very sweet. They are sweet to taste, sweet to touch, sweet to see, sweet to move with, sweet to serve, sweet to live with. Gavo madara. And what to speak of what Mother Yashoda and Radharani do with that cow's milk? So many madura sweets they make. Rasgullas and sandesh and rubri and so many things. Makkhan, yogurt and butter, all comes. Krishna loves too much. You've heard of the term sweet butter. Sweet butter. That fresh cow's butter churned from fresh cow's yogurt. Krishna goes wild for that sweet taste. He steals it. It's so good, he robs it, he steals it. It's a sweet taste of butter, gavo madara, and this even sweeter taste of the gopis' love. Butter is sweet, fresh butter is sweet, but when it's churned by the sweet heart of a loving devotee, then that sweet butter becomes even sweeter. Gavo madara. Yashtir madara. Yashti means his yati, his danda is very sweet. His staff is sweet. Yashtir. We say yati, vairagi. So Krishna carries a stick, lagudi stick. It's very sweet and it's curved. Because Krishna's Tera Bhagavan. He's always crooked. So Krishna's stick that he rests on goes like this. It's shaped like a crutch. If you break your leg, you use crutches just under your arm. So it's shaped like this, but then the stick part is shaped like a snake. Goes like this, like this, like this, like this. So the top supports Krishna. So Krishna's love is the support of the universe. But Krishna's love moves in a crooked way. Krishna's love moves in a crooked way like a snake. Tera Bhagavan. He meets me, he leaves me, there's union and separation. It's unpredictable. We may meet, we may not meet. It's exciting, it's full of anticipation, because it's free form of love, it's parakiya love. Yashtira madaram. So Krishna's staff is very sweet because it's symbolic, it's functional, holds Krishna in the pastures, he leans on his lagudi, his yashtira, but then the shape, the design, represents his love. When the gopis see the yashtir madaram, when they see Krishna's lagudi, his cowherding stick, we say cowherding stick, they're reminded, oh, this person is not straight. He's Tera Bhagavan. Nothing is straight about him. Tri bangalalitam. He stands in a crooked way. He behaves in a crooked way. Sometimes he lies to us. Sometimes he cheats. He comes early in the morning to meet us. And he said, oh, I was very late. I couldn't find the way through the forest. He's lying. He was with another gopi. So his speech is crooked. His behavior is crooked. When he walks down the forest path, he doesn't walk straight like a businessman. Businessman walks straight down the sidewalk or the road, point to point. Krishna walks here and he walks there. He sees something attractive and interesting there. Oh, look. Look at that beautiful bird. Oh, listen to that sweet sound there. Oh, look. He wanders here and there. His Brahmitam. Brahmitam, Madhuram. His wandering is very sweet. Nothing he does is straight. Everything he does is crooked. Even when he puts his pagri on his head, he doesn't wear it like an ordinary Rajasthani prince. It's not straight, it's crooked. It's called Bihari Mukut. Bihari Mukut, it's a little bit off-center. He doesn't set his pagri like that, he tilts it like this. He's crooked. He doesn't dress in a balanced way. Usually you have one earring here and one earring there, and one flower here and one flower there. Sometimes he puts one flower here, only one flower. He looks like imbalanced way. Everything is, his dressing is crooked, his speech, and even his staff, his lati, his lagudi is shaped in a crooked way. Because he's Tera Bhagavan, his love moves like a snake, here and there. But because of his unpredictable movements and crooked dealings, he's entered so deep into our heart. Because there's two types of arrows. One arrow has a straight point. It goes in and you can very easily take it out. There's another arrow that's shaped like this, crooked. If someone shoots you with a crooked arrow that's bent like this, it goes in and it's very difficult to pull out because it's curved like this and like that. So when it comes out, it goes very deep and hard to get out, remove. So Krishna's love is crooked. It's not straight. So when Krishna's love enters the heart, it goes very deep, goes this way, that way, and you can't pull out. It's easier to pull out a straight thread from a piece of cloth than a piece of thread that's woven like this. You have to go like this. So Krishna's yashtir is sweet because it represents that sweet crookedness of Tera Bhagavan. Madhurya Tera Bhagavan Sri Krishna. He's Tera, Tero. Then Shristir Madhura. Krishna's creation is very sweet. It's actually a sweet world. But we separate ourselves from the source of sweetness and life becomes sour and bitter and unclean and polluted. But if we're connected to the source of sweetness, then life is clean and uncontaminated and sweet and fulfilling. Srishtira Madhura, Om Purnamadam Purnamidam. Krishna's creation is complete, completely perfect, and completely pure, and completely sweet. Look at this world. It's only man's intervention that has made pollution and disturbance and imbalance in nature and society everywhere. So the world, people often say, oh, it's a bitter world. It's a cruel world. It's a miserable world. People often say, as they look around, but Krishna didn't make it that way, Srishtir Madhura. He made it very sweet. And if this creation, we are also a creation of God. Man, woman, they're considered the crown of creation. So we are a creation, Srishtir Madhura. And when our creation, or when we are linked with God, then we become Madhura. We become sweet. And then the whole world becomes sweet. There's a phrase that says, Vishwam Purnam Sukhayate. Vishwam Purnam Sukhayate. For one who is realized in God consciousness, Vishwam Purnam Sukhayate, he sees the whole universe is filled with happiness. The whole world is filled with sweetness. Everywhere he sees the hand of God, the mercy of God. And it's all for good. God is good. God is good. God is sweet. God is kind and benevolent. It is our intervention or our disturbance in the flow of God's will or in the natural order of God that has brought the chaos and pollution and misery and difficulty in the world. Once one great saint said, "There's no shortage of anything in this world. There's only a shortage of God consciousness. If there was more God consciousness, there would be more sweetness in the world. Shristira madaram, then dalitam madaram. Dalitam dalit. Dalitam madaram means Krishna's defeating of demons, destroying the atheists is very sweet. The way he kills the demons in Krishna's lila is very sweet. The way he kills. In Vrindavan, Krishna doesn't use any chakra, any weapons. Just his sweet hands or his sweet feet. A kick, a slap, a punch, bus. A sweet slap, a sweet kick, or a sweet punch. You have, in America, they have a fruit drink called Sweet Punch. You mix some different fruits together, it's called Sweet Punch. So Krishna, when Krishna went to Mathura, then he used a sweet punch. And he finished Kamsa, boom. And Kamsa just was dead. And Krishna took him for a sweet drag over to Vishram Ghat. Dalitam madaram, then falitam madaram. And the fruits, the phal that Krishna gives is very sweet. This is called the fruit of life. We say phaltu means fruitless, phaltu, without fruit. Krishna's bestowal of fruits is sweet. Everything is sweet about the original Lord of Sweetness. When Krishna gives a fruit in our hand, that fruit is very sweet. When Maya gives a fruit in our hand, that fruit is very bitter. Maya gives death and rebirth. Krishna gives liberation and a life of eternal joy. That's the fruit of spiritual life. The fruit of material life, Maya means material life. Maya, Maya, that which is not. Maya, ya, na, Maya, that which is not. Material life, life without God, life based on sense gratification, personal endeavor, personal enjoyment, selfishness, conquering, exploiting, building, controlling, having, holding. This is all absence of God. This is the action of Maya, the action that's not connected to God. It's simply our imitation of God, being the Ishvara, being the enjoyer, being the controller, being the owner, possessor. So then Maya gives a fruit. Yes, now die. No more kingdom, no more control, no more power. And go to hell, become animal, become dog. Here's the fruit. Here's the fruit of your papa karma. Become pig. Pig fall. Sewer fall. That is not a sweet fruit. That is not phalitam, phalitam madaram. The fruits of Maya are painful. The fruits of illusion are painful. Living a life of illusion will give you a fruit of illusion, an illusory flute, fruit. But living a life of truth will give you a fruit of truth. So the fruit of truth is Golok Prapti, Brajadam Prapti, Prem Prapti. Phalitam Madaram, Madaradi Pater, Akilam Madaram. As Vallabha says, everything is sweet about the Lord of Sweetness. So this concludes our discussion of the Madharastakam, which is an elaboration of why Shukadeva Goswami and Vyasadeva in this verse have said Brajasriya Krishna Grihita Manasa, that this Krishna, who's so sweet, he has the power to captivate the hearts of the gopis. Totally seize and control and captivate. And only this form of Bhagavan, Krishna Vrindavan, and only this name of Bhagavan actually depicts that power of captivation, that power of enchantment. So in our two-day discussion of this Madhurastakam, we could appreciate how much captivation, how much sweetness there is in this Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. It was a rather elongated discussion, or let's say long discussion on one word, but one word says it all. This is the supreme name of Godhead. It describes the supreme qualities of Godhead, and what captured the gopis was not power and grandeur, because I mentioned in the story at Paitagram and Govardhan during Vasant Ras, when the gopis saw the Purushavatar, when they saw Vishnu, Narayan, the supreme creator and controller and maintainer, God, the generator, operator, and destroyer of the world, when they saw Narayan, their minds were not captivated, Grihita Manasa. They were searching for Krishna. He had left them during the Rasa dance. They saw Narayan, oh, Namo Narayan, pranams. Listen, Narayan, have you seen Krishna? So Narayan, Vishnu, despite all his power, all his grandeur, all his beauty, was not able to attract or interest the minds or hearts of the gopis. But Krishna, and only Krishna, could steal their hearts. So this symbolizes the supreme captivating power of Krishna. And the acharyas say that this phrase, Krishna Grihita Manasa Nishamya Gitam Taranga Vardhanam Brajastriya Krishna Grihita Manasa Ajagmuranyonhyam Alakshitodyama Sayatra Kanto Javalola Kundala. And this phrase in the second pada, Brajastriya Krishna Grihita Manasa, that those Brajastriya, those cowherd damsels of Vrindavan, their minds were totally seized, which means as a result of that seizure and captivation of their mind by Krishna, that all-attractive, all-sweet Madhurya Krishna, then they lost their interest or attraction to anything else, as these upcoming verses will indicate. They lost their attraction or interest or attachment to their varna, dharma, to their ashram, dharma. And what's left? Varna, ashram, dharma are everything about your body and everything about your relatives and relations and everything about your existence and position in the society, in the social milieu. They lost it all. So the acharyas say that this term describing the gopis as Brajastriya Grihita Manasa is a perfect, it symbolizes Ananya Bhakti, Ananya Bhakti, that Krishna exalts in the Bhagavad Gita. Ananyas Chintyantomam Yejana Paryupashate Tesham Nitya Biyuktanam Yogakshemam Bahamyaham. Ananyas Chinta, that their whole consciousness became centered on Krishna and Krishna alone. So this verse or this line, Brajastriya Krishna Grihita Manasa, is showing and teaching Ananya Bhakti. Ananya, devotion, love, dedication, surrender for no one else but Krishna, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, that all-attractive Madharam Madharam Sri Krishna. This is one point. And then Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, when he gives his tika on this verse, he says that he creates some imagery here. He said that Krishna, Grihita Manasa, means that the gopis became like puppets. And they were controlled by the strings of Krishna's flute. Krishna played his jagokalam. He played his flute. Then Manoharam, it captivated and enchanted their minds. Then Grihita Manasa, it totally seized and stole their minds. And so they couldn't even function anymore. As a puppet, a little toy puppet, cannot function without the interaction of the puppeteer. If he lets go of the strings, the puppet collapses. But when he's pulling the strings, then the little doll-like puppet, he dances, moves, lifts his arm. So Krishna, the gopis became like puppets, drawn by the string of Krishna's flute playing, drawn and controlled by the strings. And by entering their ears with the sound of his flute, Krishna performed a great act of thievery in Vrindavan. Vishnu says, again, more theft. Krishna is always stealing something. You have to be careful with Krishna. If Krishna gets anywhere near you, he's going to steal something. That's why people are afraid when Krishna Bhaktas come to their house. They say, oh, this Krishna Bhakta has come to my house. I think he wants some donation for the temple. He's going to take some money. So Krishna, he performed a great act of thievery on these innocent gopis of Vrindavan. By playing his flute entered secretly and surreptitiously and quietly into their ears and went to the inner chambers of the house of their heart. Then stole their prizes possession, their minds. Because you can consider as a human being, what is our most valuable possession? The center pivot which runs our life. It's our mind. We may lose our ears, ability to hear, but we can exist. We may lose our ability to see, but we can exist and even function in this world, and even work and make money, some different jobs. We can lose the function of various senses, but if we lose our minds, then none of the senses work. Everything is paralyzed, everything is dysfunctional and immobilized. So the gopis, such thievery, Krishna went into their treasury of their very existence and stole their hearts and minds. And then the gopis had to get up and run after that thief. Vishnath says, he stole their minds completely. They said, what is this? How can we carry on without our minds? Without our minds, we can't do our household chores. We can't attend to our husbands. We can't do anything without our minds. So they ran after him. That's why they came to the Rasa dance, to catch that great thief, that Manohar. He stole their minds. That Manohar is actually Krishna, although it was used as a modifier to explain Jagokalam Manoharam, that Krishna's flute enchanted their minds, but actually Krishna's flute and Krishna himself became known as Manohar. He stole their minds. He's a thief. And the gopis ran to the Rasastali to retrieve their minds from that great thief. This is the commentary of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. So tomorrow we'll continue with our discussion of that great thief, Krishna Manohar. Ananda Kanda Bhagavan ki jai, jai jai Shri Radhe, jai jai Shri Radhe, jai jai Shri Radhe, Srimad Bhagavata Mahapurana ki jai, Shri Rasa Panchadhyaya ki jai.